On Monday, President Trump addressed the mass shootings that shook the country this weekend.
We have asked the FBI to identify all further resources they need to investigate and disrupt hate crimes and domestic terrorism.
And just last month, FBI Director Christopher Wray testified that most arrests made this fiscal year have, in fact, been domestic terrorists.
A majority of the domestic terrorism cases that we've investigated are motivated by some version of what you might call white supremacist violence.
Devlin Barrett is a national security correspondent for The Washington Post, and he joins us now to talk about President Trump's remarks and address just how realistic his calls to action are. Devlin, thanks for being with us.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
So let's start with what Trump was calling for in his remarks. Let's give one example.
First, we must do a better job of identifying and acting on early warning signs. I am directing the Department of Justice to work in partnership with local, state, and federal agencies, as well as social media companies, to develop tools that can detect mass shooters before they strike.
Devlin, how realistic is it, as Trump is suggesting, to do what he just laid out with the DOJ and federal agencies and social media companies? And whose job is it to act on these?
Well, it's primarily the FBI's job when you think about the national effort. But look, it's not as if the FBI and other law enforcement agencies aren't already trying to do that. It is very difficult, you know, to get in front of every mass shooter. Now, there are many success stories. There's no doubt. You see all the time, frankly, instances where someone's, you know, grandmother or schoolmate or somebody comes forward and helps point cops in the direction of someone that they're concerned about. But that doesn't catch everyone, obviously. And Trump, what the president is saying, that he plans to push them to do more in this arena. And I think you will see a more aggressive effort in this arena. But obviously, that is not a perfect system by any stretch. And, you know, most counterterrorism officials would tell you they already work very, very hard on that front.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that, because we heard at the top FBI Director Chris Wray testifying that many FBI investigations over the last year have involved white supremacy. Is the FBI funded for this, Devlin? And is there anyone there who's specifically in charge of domestic terrorism?
Yeah, so this spring, in an effort to have a more centralized focus on the problem of domestic terrorism specifically, this spring the FBI stood up what's called essentially a domestic terrorism fusion cell. Now, in some ways, that's not a huge change because the local joint terrorism task forces around the country have already been chasing suspects in both the domestic terrorism front and internationally inspired terrorism. But the idea of the fusion cell is to get more of a headquarters focus, more of a top-down focus on this issue. So they are making efforts along this line. But I got to tell you, I speak to current and former officials who are concerned they're still not doing enough. They're still not focused enough. And their concern is that part of the reason is that this is a politically fraught subject, because there is some concern in some quarters of the government that if they push too hard in this space, it will become a political football.
Devlin, the president also talked about the role that social media can play in identifying, quote, early warning signs. And I'm wondering how that would work. We heard a little bit about this after the Department of Homeland Security was implemented following 9/11. Is this going to mean that law enforcement is scouring Facebook posts? And if so, there seems to be a fine line here between surveillance and national security.
There is a fine line, and the FBI is the first to tell you they do not investigate ideologies. That is not what they do. And in the past, in historically speaking, when they have done that, they've gotten into a lot of trouble for doing that. So there is a fine line here, and even law enforcement doesn't like to define exactly where they draw the line, because they think that might be too helpful to people who are planning violence. But look, the point is they key in on talk of violence. And to the degree that people are talking about violence specifically, they will focus in on that and start looking at people who do that. The challenge that a lot of investigators have in the terrorism space is that, particularly when it comes to domestic terrorism, what they say they see a lot of is people spewing hate in places like 8chan and other online forums, but not actually – those words not actually crossing the line to say, and someone should die or someone should be hurt because of that. what they see is a lot of hate, and they don't necessarily see a lot of people talking about violence. The other part of that problem, as described to me by investigators, is that a lot of people say a lot of nonsense on the internet. And figuring out which ones mean it and which ones don't is a big challenge of their work.
The president also mentioned red flag laws, and particularly GOP leadership seems to be thinking that this is a good way to go. Can you explain what they are?
Right. So a red flag law is essentially a state law. It's important to understand that when the president and members of Congress say they support red flag laws, what they're saying is they support states adopting these laws. And what a red flag law does is it basically makes it possible typically for the relatives of someone to report them to the police and say, we are concerned about this person's mental state. We'd like you to take their weapons away from them while they seem to be going through problems. And it essentially makes it easier, an easier mechanism for a judge to say, okay, we're going to take this person's weapons away because their relatives have reported them as possibly a danger to themselves or others. That is what a red flag law does. And the reason why Republicans are embracing this is because, you know, for Republicans, there's often a desire to look for anything other than gun control legislation in the wake of horrible attacks. So obviously, Republicans talk a lot about mental illness. The president said in his public address that, you know, mental illness and hate pulls the trigger, not the gun. And that is very much in keeping with the Republican perspective on these mass shootings and gun violence. And so when you talk about red flag laws, it's another way for Republicans to say, we're not going to look at guns. We are going to look at mental health, and we are going to push those decisions down to the states, because the reality is in a lot of states, it would be fairly difficult to pass red flag laws, and you're basically pushing that responsibility down as opposed to up to Washington.
Devlin Barrett is a national security correspondent for The Washington Post. Devlin, thank you so much.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.